Hi, guys. Welcome to another episode of Natural Fertility with Dr. Jane. I, of course, am Dr. Jane, and today I'm joined by one of my practitioners, Dr. Elisa Chambers. Thanks for being here, girl. I'm excited to chat again.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
What are we going to talk about? What do the people of the internet need to hear today?
Yes. So the vagus nerve and the gut brain, how it's all connected. I think it's been kind of a recurring theme or a recurring trend over the last few years. And I think it would just be beneficial to kind of understand how that works in your body and how it can be related to your fertility journey.
Yeah, the vagus nerve is huge. And I think that's something that I did not I just didn't really think it was that important. So until now, I'm like, oh, the vagus nerve is really not functioning properly. And, you know, the person needs a lot of nervous system regulation. And then, of course, it's all connected to the nervous system and the gut and hormones and all of it. So tell us, like, what do we need to know? Let's do the basics. Like, what do we need to know about the vagus nerve?
Yeah.
Why do we need to know about it?
Yeah. First, the vagus nerve, it's the 10th cranial nerve and the longest cranial nerve. It's huge. Like you said, other than just knowing about it, it is huge. It starts at your brainstem and it extends all the way down to your colon, innervating almost every single one of your vital organs. So it's really important in our body's processes and our autonomic system. So when we say autonomic, that's like auto. So what is your body doing that you don't really have to think about? It's like your heartbeat and your breathing, your
digestion,
hormone regulation, your digestion. Yes. All of that stuff that you don't have to think about doing that your body just already does. So the vagus nerve is really important in regulating that. And then controlling your parasympathetic nervous system. So the part of your nervous system that's like rest, digest, heal, reproduce, and just controlling those functions within our systems.
Yep. Versus fight or flight. I love the auto connection that you made. I was like, that's a great way to remember it. I do not remembering that way. So that's really great. How do we, you know, how does it get out of whack? How do we know if it needs support? How do we support it? You know, let's just kind of start having conversations. And I always like to pull in some case studies. So if you have some, share them, and then I'll share some of mine around the vagus nerve and all that jazz.
Yeah, absolutely. So when we look at the vagus nerve, we can talk about vagal tone within your body. It's very similar. A good way to look at it is like, it's similar to like muscle tone, right? So if you increase your muscle tone, you're working the muscle, you can take on more of a load. So if you have an increased vagal tone, you can take on more of a load in the sense of like stressors happening within our body. On the opposite hand, if you have a low vagal tone, then your body doesn't have as good regulation of taking on those stressors. So that leads right back to what we already talked about. So poor digestion, poor hormone balance, energy levels, if you have really low energy levels, that can signal decreased tone. And so it's almost like the muscle that you're working is you want to work your vagus nerve and those functions to increase that vagal tone so that your body has an easier response to everyday stressors that are going to naturally happen to you anyways.
Yeah. And I find it's hard to like, I think everyone needs vagus nerve toning support because we live in such a, and everybody that we meet have stress. And that's why, you know, couples, if you've been struggling with infertility for a while and someone tells you to relax, there is some truth to that. It's just ignorant the way that it's being presented because at the end of the day, I think all of us need to relax, but understanding why your system is in that fight or flight is kind of that first step. And then what are the practices that you can have every day or every week or every month or every quarter or whatever to reset the nervous system or to help it so then you can, you know, I mean, not just fertility, but like age better, feel better, enjoy life more, all of those things.
Yeah. A good example for that is like when they tell you to like, don't stress about it or just breathe or just whatever. So I teach yoga as well. And something that I find was really hard for me at the beginning of my practice journey and a lot of people struggle with as well is when you go into the room before class and it's just quiet other than like the meditative music and everybody else around you is just like laying on their mat with their eyes closed. Like last week I had a student come out and she was like, I'm going to get water. I don't need water, but like I don't know what to do. Everyone around me just laying down. And I'm like, yes, that's a muscle you have to work. You have to be comfortable going in there and laying down for 5-10 minutes, eyes open, eyes closed, without letting all of these other things that are happening around you. And that's working your vagus nerve. That's working your vagal tone and that muscle to be able to kind of not disassociate, but to let things happen around you and just be within your body. And so it's really, really hard for people that have never done it. And similar to like what we talked about on our first podcast is children are really good at doing these things. And then we're almost taught throughout our life to not be as good as these things. So sometimes you have to retrain yourself. And something that you've been talking about all week is lay down on your floor for 5 minutes. Just do it. And
we literally made that recommendation to a couple of patients this week. And like Dr. Nicole was like, well, I don't know. It's like, tell her to lie down on the floor for 5 minutes a day. Like, that's it. I don't care. Mm-hmm. Put the Christmas tree on. Do like, just lay there.
And someone's whose nervous system is stuck in fight or flight is going to have a really hard time doing that. And five minutes doesn't seem like a long time, but that would make it feel like it's a long time.
Yeah, I started doing yoga, as I've been talking about.
Yeah.
And a lot of the time she's like, you're just going to lay there and breathe. And I'm like, well, let me just stretch a little while I breathe.
Exactly. It's really hard for us to do that. And that is something that is like a simple but not simple practice that you can do to kind of tap into it and kind of work that vagus nerve muscle.
Yeah, I love that. And it is, so there is the simple things, or I think it's what you're getting at. Like, it is a sign of that vagus nerve not having good tone when you have a hard time to relax. And so then I always like to dig kind of into the beliefs around what do you believe about yourself when you relax, because if we're looking at changing a behavior, and a bunch of our behaviors, the things that we do every day, are really our habits, and our habits are driven by our emotions, and our emotions are driven by our beliefs. I always, like, if I'm trying to change a habit, if I'm trying to create a new behavior, therefore change the habit, I have to understand what's underneath that. And a lot of the times there's anxiety, there's overwhelm. And then I'm always like, what's underneath that? And it's grief, it's sadness. I am not where I thought I would be. I feel broken. I have a lot of fear, like a lot of disappointment, a lot of shame, like you name it. And then it's like, what is your belief about the world or yourself? And I've had numerous patients who are like stuck in fight or flight. And when we dig down, and it's like, well, my parents never really let me go out and do stuff. They always protected me and love, and they did all of these things. And it's like, okay, so it sounds like you believe that the world isn't safe. Yeah, okay, well, because that's my parents' belief. Or I believe that if I'm lazy, if I'm not doing anything, I'm lazy. And if I'm lazy, then I'm a failure. And then it's like, oh, okay. So like, that's a pretty big core sentence, if you will, and pretty negative one. I've had people tell me like, well, because this is how I trick them into telling me what they believe, is I say, if you rest, then what? What's the first thing that comes into your brain? And they'll say like, if I rest, then I'm like, I'm not accomplishing anything. And if you're not accomplishing anything, then what? Well, then I'm a failure, like, and I suck and I'm missing out and I'm not living my full potential. And if you're not living your full potential, then what? And like, I'll just kind of keep going to try to understand and get to that core sentence. And it's changing that core sentence that goes, oh, I think that the world isn't safe. Okay.
Yeah.
Or I think if I'm not myself, then nobody will like me. Like, I've literally had people say that and then they go, shit, I didn't think that that's what I was thinking. And I was like,
yeah, and those are learned behaviors, right? That's a long time of exposure and almost feeling like that's a trauma to your body. And so then you have a stress response to it. And you can even take it back one step further. And it's like, okay, so like, how was your mom while she was pregnant with you? Was there, you know, something traumatic that happened to her, whether that's a physical trauma or an emotional trauma? Like, I always
did she also believe that you shouldn't rest because if I rest, I'm lazy.
And, you know, like, stressed moms have stressed babies. And so it can, you can take it back. You can take it back. Like, you could keep going back. But a lot of these things that are causing your vagus nerve not to work efficiently or have dysregulation is these long exposures to trauma that just sets the precedent within your body.
Yeah. And I think to like we all have trauma, right? Dr. Gaber Mate, I think, talks about the big T, little T. There's lots of other practitioners, like big trauma versus little trauma. Mm-hmm. And it's not, I also think that we want to acknowledge those things, but then, like, what are we going to do about it? Like, this is the belief that got handed out to me, knowing that you can actually change it. And there's some, like, really fantastic books out there learning mm-hmm. and understanding what your core beliefs are about yourself or the world, and then how to reprogram that. But part of that is creating space to actually mm-hmm. just be still, and then maybe recognizing and going, oh, I'm actually not very good at being still. So then maybe 5 minutes is too much. Maybe we start with 60 seconds. Mm-hmm. And then in a week we double that. And then, mm-hmm. you know, we add another 30 seconds and then see if we can get that nervous system just a little bit more grounded.
Yeah. And sometimes the hardest thing is like not having something to do for your brain. It's like our brains want to be doing something. So that's why meditation a lot of times is really hard for people when they first get started. So if it is starting with just 60 seconds, even if that's hard for you, adding in something like the diaphragmatic breathing where you have to think, okay, inhale and then exhale. And so you're giving your body a job. You're giving your brain a job, but then it also is grounding and it's allowing you to hold space for yourself. Something as simple as morning sunlight. So even if you're just like sitting there, not on your phone, not listening to anything else, and you take 60 seconds and then work your way up to the 5 minutes of being in the sun in the morning, that can work your vagal tone just as much as just laying on the ground can. So there's a lot of different ways that you can stimulate it. It's more so of making it a routine and making it a practice, just like you would be going to the gym and working your quads, right? If you want to grow your quads, you got to work your quads. If you want to grow your vagal tone, increase your vagal tone, you have to work your vagus nerve.
We need one-liners. If you want to grow your vagal tone, you need to grow your vagal tone. And here's how you're going to do it. I love it. Yeah. I mean, why would somebody want to grow their vagal tone? Like, why is that a thing that you should do?
Yeah. So that will like goes back to those autonomic things that our body is doing. It's just going to help you regulate those easier. So you'll notice better digestion. You'll notice increase in your energy levels. You'll notice better hormone regulation. You'll notice better stress response to things. So maybe something that may have annoyed you about, let's say your partner 6 months ago, you have an easier time of accepting stressors from the outside world, and not getting overwhelmed by those types of things. So we're always going to have those responses happening within our body, but it's about how your body takes in that stressor and then releases the stressor.
Yeah. And in the fertility space, like reproduction, you can totally get pregnant in the sympathetic mm-hmm. zone, if you will. But chances are, if you're struggling with fertility, that's where your parents were. And mm-hmm. so now it's you can still get pregnant, but it's usually not the pregnancy that you want or the labor or the postpartum period, because mm-hmm. you're in such fight or flight. And part of pregnancy is really surrendering. And I think part of the fertility journey is actually preparing you for that surrender that has to happen through each kind of phase, and not just trimester, but like with every week, your body mm-hmm. challenges you to surrender more and more to the baby. And then of course the actual birth and the labor is mm-hmm. when the woman has to go, oh, it has nothing to do with me, and I have to surrender completely and let this, you know, this soul come through. You can't surrender when you're gripping on, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I do think that's a big part of the practice, is learning how to let go and how to surrender and how to find your intuition and instinct and rest and be okay with that, as opposed to driving into, how do I make this happen? What do I need to do? It's like, you need to go lie down on the floor. That's what you need to do.
Yeah. Yeah. And then that instinct, it's also like working that gut muscle. So like trusting your instinct, and, you know, like a woman's instinct and a mother's instinct is far superior than what anybody else is going to tell you. And that's something that I talk to my patients about all the time, is I'm like, okay, so what do you think? And then you shut up and you allow them to like, okay, so like, what did I think? what did my gut say? And that is your gut brain connection, right? Like the vagus nerve is 80% afferent. So that means that all the things that are happening in those vital organs are going back up to the brain rather than the brain is making a connection and sending it to your organs. So you get 20% of that brain back, that efferent effect, but that's a huge percent of like your organs and your gut and all of those things are going to be signaling things to your brain. And that's what we mean by like, listen to your gut. Like your gut is telling your brain things.
There's science behind it.
Yes, there's science.
There's actually science. It's funny because one of my clients that I met with yesterday, they're in this phase where we're starting to try to conceive and they're like kind of on their third month and it hasn't. And usually after 3 months, I'm like, we need to look. And this was the conversation of like, here's what I think is happening. But before I do that, I'm always like, tell me, what do you think? Like, what do you think is still missing? Why do you think this isn't working? You know? And she was actually able to answer me. And she's like, I think there's some progesterone that's, and she just kind of gave me her, you know, like her thoughts. And I'm like, this is incredible progress. Because before when I asked you, you're like, I have no idea. And when I sit down and the first question that I'll ask, you know, when we have our strategy sessions and we meet with our, you know, future patients, if you will, is, hey, why do you think you've been struggling for so long? And the question, the answer to that question tells me a lot about where they are in their journey from like for the woman. If they're, she's like, I have no idea. In like, genuinely, I have no idea. Then I'm still trying to pry in there because I'm like, yeah, but don't you like, what do you think? And this is a, like a woman or a couple that has given their, the power to someone else entirely. And I'm like, and how, you know, how broken is that, that we sit there in front of doctors who are like, we know better than your body. And so your hormones are all messed up. Let us do this for you because your body doesn't know how to do it. It's like, what a terrible message, you know, to send to your patients that are genuinely, you know, trying to figure out why they can't conceive. And you're like, oh, it's because you're broken. Let me just, like, that's essentially what they're saying, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. But not necessarily broken, but there's just things that need to be addressed, things that can work and function better. I mean, our bodies were made to do this stuff. Like our bodies are far more intelligent than our minds can even fathom. Comprehend. Science hasn't even caught up yet, right?
I know, it has not caught up.
Yeah, so it's really important to create that relationship with your own body because there are those things that your body will tell you. You just have to be open enough to hear it.
Yep, for sure. And that's hard. Tell me what from like as a chiro, what do you, what are some tips and tricks you have for stimulating vagus nerve besides like, you know, laying still, because we're going to kind of go through it because there's so many things that we can do. So the laying still, coming down, becoming aware of your nervous system. As a chiro, what are some things that you have done for your patients and do yourself
Yeah. So something that I did for every single one of my patients is heart rate variability. So I had a test that, you know, it's, you clip it on your finger. It's an ECG test. It just measures your heart rate over 3 minutes. And then it gives us like a very small window into where is your nervous system landing? Are you stuck in that sympathetic? Because if you're just sitting there, right, and we're just staring at each other and it's over 3 minutes, like you shouldn't be up in your sympathetics. Your bodies shouldn't be pretending
like. It depends on the person. Some people would find that very stressful.
That's true. That's also very true. I never thought about it that way. Try to make it as calm as possible, right? But like, if you're not running from a bear, you shouldn't be stuck in your sympathetic. So not everybody has access to that. So my Oura Ring tells me about my heart rate variability, right? So it's measuring that and showing changes based on like my menstrual cycle or, you know, my workouts or, you know, things that are causing other stressors to my body. But if you don't have a device, like a good way to kind of like start thinking about where your vagal tone could be is looking at like the symptom clusters. So like we discussed before, a good increased vagal tone is like dealing with stress response, having a good digestion, good hormone balance, sleeping? Are you sleeping well at night? And if it's the opposite, right, you're not digesting things well, you're waking up in the middle of the night, you're not able to fall asleep, you feel like you're just testy and things are really like bothering you, that could signal to us that decreased vagal tone. And so the biggest thing that we talk to people about all the time is those lifestyle changes. So what are things that are you are doing that could cause inflammation happening within your body or that are causing more stress to you? So does your job cause more stress? Does your partner cause more stress? Is family causing more stress? Not necessarily taking everything away, but learning what those stressors are and allowing your body to work through it and to help you regulate it. And so that's probably the biggest thing, but that's not going to just change overnight, right? So those things that you can do like laying down for 5 minutes, adding in that diaphragmatic breathing, taking it one step further. Once you get good at that diaphragmatic breathing, working on creating throat vibration during the diaphragmatic breathing. So on your exhales, it almost is like you're constricting within the back of your throat and it will begin to sound audible, but it's creating that vibration in your throat. If that doesn't feel comfortable, gargling, humming, that can all be good things that can stimulate that good vagus tone. The sunlight, so sunlight in the morning, getting that 5 to 10 minutes just to like work your circadian rhythm with the sun is important. Exercise, so regular 2 to 3 times a week. Whatever exercise feels good to you, right? That's different for everybody. Obviously, we like to mix things in. I really love yoga, but I also weight train because I know that there's, you know, different benefits to those different types of things. For sure. And then the vagus nerve starts out of the brainstem and has those innervations into the ear and into the neck. So ear massages. So if you just massage your own ears.
Ear massages feel so good.
Get yes, your they do. Do
it. It's like, it melts you. Like, you see why cats and like dogs, they love ear massages. I don't know if they have do. The same... The same anatomy. Obviously, I'm not a vet, but like you yeah. get a good ear massage going, and the cat is like, oh, uh-huh, uh-huh.
But that's like to the point of like babies and animals. They're just working on instinct, right? So they already know that that stuff's good because they haven't learned to think otherwise. So we can kind of look to them to be like, okay, like that could be important. But obviously, the lifestyle changes are the biggest thing, and then picking maybe one of those things that we just went through and just trying to work that muscle every day, and it will get easier and it will become more of like a routine for you. And then you will start to notice things changing in your body, like without even trying. You may notice your digestion's better or you're sleeping better, or if you are tracking your heart rate variability, that stuff could get better as well.
Yeah. And to, you know, I think the simplicity of it is incredible, and we should always try to like find the most simple solution, because I actually think that's the one that's usually the most effective. The mm-hmm. kind of, I'll play the devil's advocate, is for those who are doing all of those things and you're mm-hmm. like, I'm not getting any better. What I will say, and what I, you know, we've seen in practice, especially in the mm-hmm. last kind of 3 years, I would say, is the cases are a lot more complex and there's a lot more issues going on at hand, if you will. And so like working on digestion might mean slowing down and sitting down and eating, but it can mm-hmm. also mean doing a parasite cleanse or, you know, if you have ureoplasma or like BV, or you have another chronic, like mold, chronic mm-hmm. inflammation, chronic infection, getting those things out of the body will start to help you regulate as well, because all bugs mm-hmm. have energy, and the energy of, you know, a parasite versus a bacterial infection versus mold is different, but it is still a quote negative energy. It makes you feel like you're not yourself when we have those outbursts of emotions. Usually it's like, I shouldn't have done that. That's not me. And it's like, you're right. It's not you. It is something exactly. though within the microbiome, and there is something that, you know, needs to be addressed. And so you might have to pull in all of these other things, and even herbs. You know, I have a client that I can't remember, I think it was Monday that we chatted, and he's like, I'm having a hard time managing stress. And it's like, you're actually just trying to do too many things. And that's why you're mm-hmm. having a hard time. You're trying to be a superhero, and mm-hmm. they're running a company, and you know, they want another baby. They already have a family. Like, there's just a lot on the go. And it's like, okay, but it actually just sounds, you need to hire some help out. That's all that is. And so sometimes it's hard for us to see what the solution is. And then if you have a hard time, then I'm like, have you tried CBD oil? Have you tried GABA? Have you tried L-theanine? And again, this is where we use the testing, because not everybody's going to benefit from everything, but certain people will do really well on, you know, this nutrient. And whether that's ashwagandha or rhodiola or GABA, it will help introduce that, like, oh, this is what it's like to feel relaxed. So then you can, you know, get the most out of your practice.
Absolutely, because healing is not linear and we have to peel back those layers, right? And each person's going to be so different. So what worked for one person is not going to work for the other person and vice versa. So it's really important to have the whole picture, because in combination with a lot of the things that we do with our clients and then working on the nervous system regulation can be super beneficial, but it's just about seeing what's right for each person at which time.
Yeah. Yeah. And I, you know, the biggest advice, and I've kind of had to still constantly learning this myself, but have to remind myself and remind my patients, is like, there is no end journey. I think that's when we get into trouble, because you're like, when does this end? Like, when do I have to stop being healthy? It's like, I mean, whenever you want to die from chronic disease, I don't know, like, you can stop whenever. I think I really look at the body, the physical body, is the way that we get to experience life on this planet. And so it is a reflection, you know, inner world reflects outer world. And so whatever is going on internally will show up in the body physically, or, you know, the thoughts that you have or the emotions that you feel on a regular basis. I know I'm a nerd for all of this stuff, but I genuinely have seen like family members not experience life to their fullest because of how sick they were, or having... I saw this on the podcast. It's like, oh, it's fine. Like, whenever I'm fine from dying from heart disease or whatever. It's like, you're not dying as soon as you get heart disease. You live with heart disease and all the implications that come with that, the complications, for 10, 20 years. And so the last couple of decades of your life become miserable. And I think people don't realize that, because it's not like overnight it's miserable. It's this slow, like, oh, I guess I can't walk up the stairs that fast, or I guess I just have this excess weight. I have, I guess, a little bit of brain fog. Oh, it's just age, or it's just this. And next thing you know, it's like your quality of life is so low, and you're like, oh, but I'm just older now, you know? So I really think about all of those things of, you're not just, what do you mean there's an end light, you know, end to this journey? It's like the end to the journey is when you die. And so it's like, what do you want to experience in this life, and how do you want to experience it? And when you have a really healthy body, the way that you experience world is so different. I was thinking about my kids, and like, they did not take, and I'll do a knock on woods, they didn't take a single like sick day since they started in September. And the times that we are blocking off is when we go on vacation. That's the days that they miss for school, not the days that they're sick. And you think about that and you're just like, man, there's people who can't even travel because every time they travel, they get sick, you know? And it's just like, that's nuts. You don't get to experience the world and life because, you know, your
and
body.
And if you're sick, you can't experience that with your kids either.
No. Yeah. No, that's it. And I mean, the kids, then it's, oh, my daughter, I remember like when she first started school, he's like, Mom, what are allergies? Because everybody has allergies. And she's like, do I have allergies? Can I have allergies? I'm like, no, you don't want allergies.
No.
Like,
no.
It's almost like, oh, it's cool to have allergies. And it's like, no, it's not cool to have an allergy to a dog or a cat or a food or whatever, you know, going outside to the outside. Like when people are like, I'm allergic to the sun. I'm like, do you know how bad that is? Like, that's seed oil central and vitamin D deficiency central, and like no collagen or protein for the skin to actually be able to make the, what is it, melanin, to make the skin darker and instead of just like burn. It's like, those are issues with what your body is made of, not the sun. Exactly. The sun has been around way before you were here.
Yeah, 100%.
I don't know how we veered there, but here we are. No, but just talking about the vagus nerve as a whole, you know, like that's how my brain of thought was, is like, it is really how you're going to experience life and your ability to experience it. And if you're always experiencing it from a place of fight or flight, then that's like, you're driving it, you know, at full speed. You're driving your car at full speed all the time. And I'd love to say that you could do that for forever, but that's not how it works. You know?
And another, I guess, one-liner that I tell my patients all the time is, like, if you're running from a bear, are you going to be able to digest the sandwich that you had for lunch? No. So if your body is stuck up here all of the time, all of those other important but seemingly less important to your body because it's working through something is not going to happen. And so when we're talking about, like, digestion and hormone balance, and if you're here and you're running from a bear all of the time, your body's not going to want to create life. Your body's not going to want to go through those autonomic systems as easily. And so, yeah, I mean, I say that all the time. Like, I should probably get it printed on a shirt.
But totally bang on. It's like your body doesn't think it's important to digest the sandwich because your body thinks it's running from a bear.
It's prioritizing.
It. Yeah, it's prioritizing. Mm-hmm. What about from, like, manipulation, whether, you know, cervical manipulation, spinal or visceral manipulation, anything that you've seen or like or do?
Yeah. So it's going to be a little bit different for everybody and how everybody's body responds. So a chiropractic adjustment can be really beneficial to, you know, take any interference off of any of those nerve pathways. But someone could also benefit from something that's a little bit maybe less invasive, like craniosacral therapy or acupuncture or, you know, a massage.
I love hearing this from a chiro because usually, right? Like, that's really powerful. And this is one of the reasons that I hired you. And I was like, we need to bring her on the team because you weren't like, I just crack everybody all the time. And not that Okaira say that, but you're like, here's how my thought process is and here's how I treat. And I'm like, yes.
Yeah. And I think, really, you know, sometimes you can get stuck in a box and be like, my way is the best way. But I think everybody's human is different and everybody's body's interpretation of things is different. And so what might work really well for me, like a manipulation to, for me, works really, really well, but that might not work really well for somebody else. And so that's something that I always strive to do, is like meet the person where they are. And so if you're coming in, and there's a lot of different types of adjustments that can stimulate things in different ways that aren't just what we think of as, like, what I like to call TikTok chiropractic, you know, of like, we're just going to pop every bone in the body and see what happens.
There are some really good TikToks out there, though.
Oh, I'm sure. But, you know, that's the interpretation that a lot of people see. But I just, and that's what I tell everybody too, is your body's going to respond to things different than the person that's sitting next to you. And we just need to listen to what your body needs. And while, yes, the adjustment can be really beneficial, maybe somebody needs something that's not going to send them, like, up and down as quickly, like craniosacral therapy, where it's a little bit less intense on the system, if that makes sense.
And yeah, for sure. And it might help people relax a little bit more. I love that you're saying this as a chiro, because I've had a lot of, I'm one of my couples right now, they're like, so we found this new chiro and we just realized that our other chiro wasn't very good. I was like, good, I'm glad. And I think, I don't want to, because I used to be that practitioner that didn't test and that guessed. And I think there's stepping stones to us as practitioners in development. And I'm always, like, challenging myself to learn more and to listen to the body and to respond. But what you have to do if you want to be a really in tune practitioner is actually, like, do a lot of work on yourself. And then you have to be humble enough to admit when you're wrong. And I think that is very, very difficult for people to do and for practitioners to do, because there's a lot of status, there's a lot of ego, there's a lot of that stuff that's associated with it. And so to be able to go, maybe my approach that I've used for the last 10 years isn't working. Like, do you know how humbling that is? It's like, oh, it hasn't been working, you know, but we do see that all the time.
Yeah. And that's why the one size fits all approach doesn't always work, because everything needs to be personalized to your body, right? And why we run the tests that we run, to see what bugs or things that you have in your body, because we can guess and we can give you a protocol, but it's not going to work for everybody. And some people it'll work great for.
Yep. That's it. Thank you, Dr. Lisa. This was really great. I learned a lot, and we had some good one-liners, so hopefully they can get all cut up and posted on socials.
Yo. Yes.
No, but thank you so much. I'm looking forward to connecting with you again. It's always cool to, like, learn from one another, and this is just, like, the only time that we get to actually just, like, sit down, the two of us, and chat through some things, so I always appreciate that.
Yeah, it's great. Thank you.